Epilogue. The Answer. The man only paused long enough to rest his hand on the door of the sedan chair and was away as soon as Phelion took the note from his fingers. Her rap had the two bearers moving almost before the fellow in Tarasin Palace livery stepped back into the crowd of the square. There was only one word on the small square of paper. Gone. She crumpled it in her fist. Somehow they had slipped out again without her people inside seeing. Months of futile search had convinced her there was no cache of Angreal, whatever Mogedion believed. She'd even considered putting a wise woman or two to the question. One of them might know its whereabouts, if it existed, and horses might fly. All that kept her here in this wretched city was the simple fact that when one of the chosen gave a command, you obeyed until it was changed. Anything else was a short road to a painful death. Yet if Elaine and Nynaeve were here, they had ruined everything in Tanchico. Whether or not they really were full sisters, impossible as that seemed, Phelion would not take their presence as coincidence. Maybe there was a cache. For the first time she was glad that Mogedion had ignored her since giving her her orders so many months ago in Amadicia. What had felt like abandonment might yet be a chance for advancement in the Chosen's eyes. That pair might yet lead her to the cache, and if not, if there was no cache, Mogedion had seemed to have some interest in Elaine and Nynaeve themselves. Delivering them would certainly be better than non-existent Angreal. Leaning back, she let the sway of the chair soothe her. She did hate this city. She had come here as a runaway when she was a novice, but perhaps this visit would end pleasantly after all.
Sitting in his study, Herod was peering into his pipe and wondering whether he had the means of lighting it at hand, when the golem squeezed under the door. Of course, even if Fel had been paying attention, he would not have believed, and once the golem was inside the room, few men would have stood any chance. When Idrian came to Fel's study later, she stared at what was piled none too neatly on the floor beside the table. It took her a moment to realize what it was, and when she did, she fainted before she could get a scream out. However many times she heard of someone torn limb from limb, she had never seen it before. The rider turned his horse at the top of the hill for a last look back at Ebudar, gleaming white in the sun. A good city for looting, and from what he had learned of the local people, they would resist, so the blood would allow looting. They would resist, but he hoped the other eyes were bringing back reports of disunity such as he had seen. Resistance would not last long, or a so-called queen ruled a tiny patch of ground, and that combined the best possibilities. Wheeling his mount, he rode west. Who knew? Perhaps that fellow's comment had been an omen. Perhaps the return would come soon, and the Daughter of the Nine Moons with it. Surely that would be the greatest omen of victory.
Lying on her back in the night, Mogedion stared at the roof of the tiny tent she was allowed to herself as one of the Ammerlin's servants. From time to time her teeth ground, but as soon as she realized it, she stilled them again, very conscious of the Eidam necklace tight around her neck. This Egwene Alvir was harder than Elaine or Nynaeve had been. She tolerated less and demanded more. And when she passed the bracelet to Swan or Lyanna, especially Swan, Mogedion shivered. That must be what it would be like if Birgitta could wear the bracelet. The tent flap moved aside, admitting just enough moonlight for her to make out a woman ducking in. "Who are you?" Mogedion demanded roughly. When they sent for her in the night, whoever came always brought a lantern. "Call me Arangar, Mogedion," an amused voice said, and a small light bloomed inside the tent. Her own name clove Mogedion's tongue to the roof of her mouth. That name meant death here. She was struggling to speak, to say her name was Marigan, when suddenly she became truly aware of the light. A small glowing white ball, pale, hanging in the air near her head. With the Eidam on her, she could not do more than think of Sidar without permission, but she could still feel it channeled, see the webs woven. This time she felt nothing, saw nothing, just a tiny ball of pure light. She stared at the woman who had called herself Arangar, recognizing her now. Halima, she thought, secretary to one of the sitters, she believed, but a woman, certainly, if one who looked as though she had been designed by a man. A woman. But that ball of light had to be Sidin. "Who are you?" Her voice shook slightly, and she was surprised it was so steady. The woman smiled at her, a very amused smile, as she settled beside the pallet. "I told you, Mogedion. My name is Arangar. You will learn that name in the future if you are lucky. Now listen to me carefully. Ask no more questions. I will tell you what you need to know. In a moment I will remove your pretty necklace. When I do, you will vanish as quickly and silently as Loghain did. If you do not, you will die here. And that will be a shame, because you are summoned to Sheol Ghul this very night." Mogedion licked her lips. Summoned to Sheol Ghul. That could mean eternity in the pit of doom, or immortality ruling the world, or anything in between. Little chance it meant being named Nameless, not if the great lord knew enough of how she had spent the past months to send someone to free her. Yet it was a summons she could not refuse, and it meant an end to the Eidam at last. "Yes, remove it. I will go immediately." There was no point to delaying anyway. She was stronger than any woman in the camp, but she did not intend to give a circle of 13 a chance at her. "I thought you would see it so." Halima, or Arangar, chuckled richly. She touched the necklace, flinching slightly, and Mogedion wondered again about a woman who apparently channeled Sidine and was hurt, however faintly, by touching what should only hurt a man who could channel. Then the necklace was off, being slipped hastily into the woman's pouch. "Go, Mogedion. Go now." When Egwene reached the tent and put her head and lantern in, she found only disturbed blankets. She withdrew slowly. "Mother," Chesa fussed behind her, "you should not be out in the night air. Night air is bad air. If you wanted Marigan, I could have fetched her." Egwene looked around. She had felt the necklace come off, and felt the flash of pain that meant a man who could channel had brushed the link. Most people were already asleep, but a few still sat outside their tents around low fires, and some not far. It might be possible to find out which man had come to Marigan's tent. "I think she has run away, Chesa," she said. Chesa's angry mutterings about women who deserted their mistresses followed her back to her own tent. It could not have been Loghain, could it? He would not have come back, could not have known. Could he?
Demandred knelt in the pit of doom, and for once he did not care that Shaidar Haran watched his trembling with that eyeless, impassive gaze. "Have I not done well, great lord?" The great lord's laughter filled Demandred's head.